This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Friday, March 1st, brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. Farm bill funding shortfall is still a sticking point. NCG still wants mandatory base update and government to stay open. Vilsack and Regan headline commodity classic. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack and EPA Administrator Michael Regan are headline guests today at Commodity Classic in Houston. Today is also the Biden administration's self-imposed deadline for announcing its update of the GREET model that will be used to assess the eligibility of ag feedstocks for sustainable aviation fuel. Classic attendees have been waiting to see what, if anything, Vilsack and Regan would have to say about GREET, although it appears from sources and from reports that key details may be delayed. American Soybean Association President Josh Gackle says he's thankful the two will be here to listen to farmers in person, but he says there's, quote, concern in farm country over what the final GREET announcement will look like. The $75 to $100 billion farm bill question. House and Senate Agriculture Committee staff say they continue to work on finding a path forward for a new farm bill yet this year, but the lack of significant new funding remains a major hurdle. The House Ag Committee's GOP policy director, Josh Maxwell, said Chairman G.T. Glenn Thompson of Pennsylvania identified between $75 and $100 billion in new spending priorities for a farm bill that scored at $1.5 trillion. Thompson wants to look at the potential to bolster the farm safety net and other priorities with funds from modifying the Commodity Credit Corporation, the Inflation Reduction Act, and the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program's Thrifty Food Plan. What I really want folks to take away from this is the language use. These are not cuts, Maxwell said during a farm bill panel discussion that AgriPulse editor Sarah Wyatt moderated at Commodity Classic. If anyone is using the term cuts, then I would invite them to speak with the chairman or staff to understand how these offsets are being reinvested, how they will have minimal impact on the pots that they're coming from. But Clark Ogilvy, who serves as special counsel to House Ag Democrats, agreed that there was, quote, room to have a conversation about the best way to utilize CCC funds and redirect about $20 billion in IRA conservation funds into the baseline as long as dollars are invested in climate smart practices. Stark differences remain over any changes to the Thrifty Food Plan. Ogilvy said CBO predicts that there will be modest increases in the future for TFP, and Republicans want to make it budget neutral instead. We see that as a benefit cut because there's a potential benefit in the future. If you're not going to get it, we see it as a benefit cut. As we've previously reported, Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow said she has a commitment from Democratic senators for $5 billion to $7 billion in as-yet unidentified funds. Mike Schmidt, who serves as senior advisor to Stabenow on the Senate Ag Committee, said there was a precedent for using funding from outside the Ag Committee. For example, the Senate Finance Committee once found a tariff rate line that they extended to fund portions of the latest farm bill. Those are the sort of things I would expect a bipartisan set of offsets from outside the agriculture committees could look like, he added. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this.
Located in Washington, D.C., Watkinson Miller has been providing legal services to the agriculture industry for more than 30 years. The attorneys at Watkinson Miller possess a unique combination of knowledge, skills, and experience working with commodity boards and their partner organizations and the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Watkinson Miller is proud to serve the agriculture community by delivering top quality legal services that achieve cost-effective results.
NCGA sticks with call for mandatory base update. The National Corn Growers Association has affirmed its call for a mandatory base update for commodity programs that, despite concerns, some members that the idea is dead on Capitol Hill. Delegates to NCGA's Corn Congress in Houston yesterday defeated 51-73 a proposal from Texas corn growers to call for a voluntary base update instead. Texas producer Dee Vaughn said the mandatory update, quote, is not politically achievable. Later, he told AgriPulse that Texas corn growers has floated a proposal to allow land without base acres to qualify for base if it's been farmed for the last 10 years. Keep in mind, the problem with a voluntary base update is the potential cost. There are also policy objections. Critics argue that taxpayers shouldn't be providing payments to farmers who no longer produce the crops for which they have base. On the other hand, a mandatory update would mean some farmers and landowners would lose base. An analysis by the Senate Agriculture Committee's Republican staff found that a mandatory base update would cost farmers in 34 states a combined $3 billion in farm program payments over 10 years. Thursday's vote was a victory for the South Dakota delegation, which won NCGA's endorsement last July for a mandatory base update. We want policy that works, that is well thought out, moving forward, and we feel like the Farm Bill should reflect acres that are actually being farmed across the United States, South Dakota delegate Scott Stahl told AgriPulse after the debate. House and Senate act to keep government open. Lawmakers yesterday passed yet another continuing resolution to keep USDA and some other departments and agencies from having to shut down this weekend. The latest stopgap spending bill will fund some agencies, including USDA, EPA, and the Interior Department, through next Friday, giving Congress time to pass six of the 12 individual spending bills. The deadline for the remaining six bills is now March 22nd. By the way, Robert Bonney, USDA Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation, told members of the National Corn Growers Association that the repeated threats of a government shutdown is continually disrupting work at senior levels of the department. It is an enormous time suck, he said. New York sues JBS Foods over net zero by 2040 claim. New York Attorney General Lalita James is suing meatpacking giant JBS Foods for allegedly engaging in fraudulent and illegal environmental marketing practices by claiming it will achieve net zero greenhouse gas emissions by 2040. The lawsuit says the company has no viable plan to meet its net zero commitment. Even if it did, it could not feasibly meet its pledge because there are no proven agricultural practices to reduce its greenhouse gas emissions to net zero at the JBS Group's current scale. She also says the company hasn't stopped using the claim despite a recent recommendation from the Better Business Bureau's National Advertising Division. On the other side, JBS spokesman Nikki Richardson told AgriPulse in a statement that the company disagrees with the Attorney General's action and takes its commitment to a more sustainable future for agriculture very seriously. JBS will continue to partner with farmers, ranchers, and our food system partners around the world to help feed growing a population while using fewer resources and reducing agriculture environmental impact, Richardson said. Our belief that American agriculture can help sustainably feed the world is undeterred. Well, here's today's He Said It. Climate is our new Dust Bowl. That Natural Resources Conservation Service Chief Terry Cosby speaking during a panel discussion at Commodity Classic. Well, that's Daybreak for this Friday, March 1st. Brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. For the latest news from Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Nally.